Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Adloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share, and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey Griefers, I hope you're having an okay week. Bit of an announcement today. The show is going to be taking a summer break from next week. I'm going to be having a brief rest from all things grief, to go to the seaside, basically. That's what I'm doing. But do not worry, we will be back on September the 5th, just in time to go back to grief school, with more amazing guests and incredible stories of grief and death to get you through the autumn term. So with that in mind, it might be a good idea to subscribe so you don't miss an episode and it just neatly appears in your podcast app. And I will still be on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at The Griefcast. If you're feeling the need to chat to some fellow griefsters, we're always here. Also, you can still book tickets for our live show on September the 15th at King's Place in London. It's part of the London Podcast Festival. I'll be joined by No Such Thing as the Fish's Andrew Hunter-Murray, Throwing Shade's Erin Gibson, and the final guest, stand-up and star of his own BBC Three sitcom, Dane Baptiste. Head to the King's Place website for more information. This week's guest is writer and producer Robert Popper. Robert is a stone-cold comedy legend, having created Robin Cooper and the Time Waster Letters, Look Around You with Peter Serafinowicz, and of course the award-winning Channel 4 series Friday Night Dinner. Robert came in to talk to me about his grandma.
Welcome to Griefcast. I'm here today with writer and producer Robert Popper. Hello.
Hello.
Robert, I just wanted to stop you because you just started telling me about how you came up with Friday Night Dinner, and I got so excited. I was like, no, I want to record that bit.
Oh, okay.
So you said you were just sat in a bar?
Yes, I was.
I'm going straight into the hard questions.
No, it's great. I was randomly, because I had a bath. I was in the bath.
What a random thing to do.
It was, wasn't it? And bath of water. And random water.
Unusual.
Yeah, hot. Mm. And we're cold. And then, I don't know why, I'd suddenly sat up and I thought Friday Night Dinner. I'd sort of been thinking, I'd love to write something new, but I didn't know what. And sort of the sound of the show was in my head, like how people talk.
Oh, wow.
And I knew my family, the way we sort of talked, and my friends growing up in Northwest London, and it was quite fast and sort of argumentative.
Yeah, yeah.
And annoying. And how do I capture that feels real? And it just suddenly, Friday Night Dinner, because I used to go home to my parents on Fridays with my brother, and like, obviously our Sunday lunch. When, you know, we're Jewish and not religious, and we would just eat.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, the same. You know, you get there. I could just see it as a show suddenly.
Yeah,
boys
yeah.
arrive and they go home and things
yeah.
happen. And yeah.
And that's why it's such a good show, I think, because it's so, there is a simplicity to it, which is really nice that you don't, I think sometimes with modern comedy, maybe that's not fair, but sometimes it's like, so they're in an airplane, but there's a thing and they got it. And you're like, whoa, God, there's so much for me to think about.
Yeah. Well, it is quite simple. It is really simple. I mean, also behind it was, I suppose the more I thought about it, maybe when you look back at it, I kind of thought it was a show about something apart from just as a family. It's a show about regressing that everyone had, that had a sort of universality, I think, where everyone, no matter what age, when you go home, you sort of become 12 again, we did. And so it was kind of that, really. And then I phoned Caroline Leddy, who was head of Channel 4 Comedy, and she'd said to me, you're always talking about your funny grandma and your parents and your brother and the stuff you get up to together. And your friends, have you ever come up with an idea? I'd love to commission a script, you know, providing it's the right idea. And I was so excited, I phoned her. It was quite late. An evening bath.
Evening bath,
luxury. And I phoned her and I said, hey, Caroline, hey, I'm in a bath. So you remember you said if I come up with an idea, you'd commission a script? She said, sure. I said, well, I'm going to say the title is three words and I reckon you'll say script commission. She said, all right, so I go. Really
so
cocky.
Confident.
I go, I just thought this was it. I said Friday night dinner. She went, commissioned. I was like, oh.
Wow.
I mean, then it took 2 years to actually happen. You know, it takes
2 years isn't bad these days, though, is it?
Yeah, maybe not. Like, but yeah, that was how it happened in the bath. Weird.
No, I think we were just talking about good ideas, aren't we? Because you were very kindly saying Griefcast was a good idea.
So and you had that just...
I was walking along the street, and I kept thinking, I think I was thinking about death, which I do a lot.
Right.
Well, and then I was thinking about a chat I'd had with someone. I think it was a friend whose dad had died very suddenly. And I was remembering this really good chat we had. And I was thinking, it's a shame we didn't record that because it was a really good chat. And I thought, God, we really got into like life and everything. And then I thought, oh, I wonder if, like, you could record them and then wonder if anyone else would want to hear them. If I'm mad and they think they... Unfortunately, I couldn't ring Caroline Leddy and say, commission.
No. You didn't need to. You commissioned it yourself.
I am the commissioner.
And it won all those awards.
That's how it works in podcasting.
Yeah,
that's
true.
The good thing. That's why I have a series.
It's great.
It didn't work so well in telly. I couldn't ring
I don't know about that.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see. So the show is obviously massively about your family, but who are we remembering today from your family?
We are remembering my grandma. Wow, I got all emotional then. Yeah, because I've been thinking about it a lot to do this. Wow.
That's all right. It's the place to do it. What was
her
name?
My voice went all funny. My grandma. That'd be a good ringtone. My grandma.
What was her proper, like her official name?
Well, she, first of all, she died 2002.
Right.
92. Well, it's funny because she's, first of all, the funniest person I sort of ever met.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, because she never really, I don't think she even knew her proper name, which was, but in a funny way.
Right, okay.
Because she was born in a village called Kolomia in East Europe, in which is now the Ukraine.
Oh, okay, so she was Ukrainian originally.
Well, actually, it's Austria-Hungarian Empire, and now it's part of the Ukraine.
Oh,
so
okay.
Then it was then.
So she wouldn't have considered herself Ukrainian.
She said she was Viennese from Vienna, which was nonsense, because it was just, she was born in like a shtetl, which is like a Jewish little village.
Right.
And the poorest of the poor. So she left. She had about seven or eight brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Who were incredibly poor. I think she knew she wanted to be something else.
Yeah.
And she didn't want that life. And she, very young, went to Germany in like the 30s. Good time to go.
Choose your moments.
Best time.
Yeah.
Went to Heidelberg, which is on the Rhine, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And to live with her cousin, I think, her uncle, who had four boys. I've seen a photo, who ran a shoe shop. And then she moved to Stuttgart, where she met her husband, who was my grandfather, who died when I was two. I didn't know him. He was from Romania.
Right.
And they got married and lived in Stuttgart. And basically got the last train out.
So they were. There, was she there before the war started?
But her name.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the name
sorry,
first.
Sorry, do the name. Sorry.
First of all, she had a really funny voice,
okay.
And I can do her voice. I've even got her on my phone, actually.
Oh my God!
I can do her voice. So her voice. I mean,
go
I could phone my mum up and do the voice, and she. I sometimes to freak my grandma out in the middle of conversation, I would do her voice back to her just to see her face, her brain go, huh? What? So she go, hello, Robbie. So nice to see you.
Did you watch the television? You're so interesting. That's how she spoke. Aww. Have some vegetables.
So that's how she spoke. So her name was Maria.
Maria.
Which I always thought was a weird name for a Jewish woman because it's the most Catholic name in the world. So sometimes we said, so your name's Maria, Grandma, yeah? And she would say, yes, Maria. I'm so Mario or Maria.
Yeah.
And she'd say, I remember we had this conversation, the whole family listened to her. She went, Marianne. Oh, is it Marianne? She went, no, Miriam. Miriam? Is your name Miriam then? And she paused and went, I don't know. So it was just...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was weird. Like, she wow. sort of was just funny like that. She yeah. was just a funny person. So everyone called her Maria, but then it was Maria and Marianne, and then occasionally she said it was Miriam. So it's just quite confusing.
And Miriam's a much more Jewish name, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, but yeah, yeah.
But yeah, who? Okay.
So she got the last, they got basically, he was Romanian, she was, I don't know if she became German, I suppose she did. Yeah, so they weren't forced to wear the star. She wouldn't talk about it.
Really?
No, I mean, she told me a few stories. And they got the last train out.
Oh, I want to give you a hug.
Funny. Yeah, I was just very close to her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those stories, did she tell you them when you were a bit older then?
Yeah, she got the last train out. They wanted to go to New York because my granddad's brother had lived in New York, and they got here literally September the 1st or August 31st, the day before Germany invaded Poland.
Wow.
So war began, and they came in with nothing.
So they got out just like in the last really
train,
good
like
time.
The last lot of trains, literally. Yeah, wow. I mean, not her family did, but she did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
It's still really hard to get your head around that situation, and I think
I can't believe I've been crying like this.
Oh,
Jesus.
God, like, it's...
So I guess I don't. I'm really, I do talk about it with buddies. I guess sometimes yeah. it doesn't really affect me like this. I guess it's because I'm. I don't know. I've never talked to you about it.
Yeah,
we don't know
yeah.
each other. We do know each other. And I don't know why. It's weird.
Sometimes I think it's... I mean...
This is the place to cry, isn't it?
This is the place to do it. Sometimes it's just
don't
the
worry.
Day.
There's going
to
be some funny stories. So don't worry. It's not all, oh my God, it's I mean, not like... all pauses. And Robert blowing his nose like an idiot.
No, not
an idiot. I'm going for the sympathy vote.
Well, you've got mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I'm just the day. Like, I have days when I do this show and I, you know, I walk into the studio and I think, oh, shit, like, if they say anything, I'm going to go today
really?
Because he's been in my head or something's happened. Or I had to go to a wedding yesterday and as soon as I saw my very, very beloved friend link arms with her dad, I was like, ugh. Like,
I must be so hot.
It's hard. But, like, but then 2 minutes later, I was like, oh, yeah,
yeah,
okay, yeah. But it just hits you in the weirdest ways. And I think we often not allowed the space in real life to talk about it. So sometimes when you are allowed the space, it's like all that emotion that you sort of brush away all the time because you're like, oh, that would make... It's, when you're allowed it, it's like, whoop, there it is, you know.
It's weird. I thought it might affect me because I think it's because I'm just talking about her.
Yeah,
as opposed to funny anecdotes.
Yes,
you know, like
yeah,
I've
yeah.
talked funny anecdotes about before in a different... It's not yeah. about when she died on... It's just all about her, and I suppose.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's that really, rather than, oh, tell that funny story about when your grandma ate an onion. You know, basically, me and my brother were at a flat. and she moved, so she, in the end, lived in Marble Arch. She did well for it. Well, a little
wow.
flat. She always wanted to live in town. Well, she was mugged there about three times.
Oh, God.
And wouldn't move out. And there's a man shot dead in the flat below her. And we said, Grandma, it's time for you to move out. She said, people get shot all the time. This is after the police had fingerprinted her. She was 83 at the time. She had been fingerprinted.
Oh, my God.
And we went round there once, me and my brother. And we were sitting, and she had the tiniest kitchen, like, the tiniest. And if you went into the kitchen, it was, no, go away, leave me. So can we help? You know, she's, like, old.
Yeah.
No, get out, go away, don't come in, leave me, please.
Like this. They just go mad. So we used to kind of do it to annoy her.
Yeah.
And I remember her coming out once. She'd had a peeled onion in her hand. She goes to me and my brother, do you like onions? And we're like, well, I mean,
yeah,
it's good, quite a good question.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose you want, do you want? And we're like, what do you mean? Do you want this onion? What? We're like, what, raw? Yes. No, thank you. Raw onion.
Oh, to me, she said, it's like a juicy apple. Look.
And then she proceeded to eat an entire onion. It was just like a Mike Leith moment. Stood there. We were sitting opposite each other and just ate the whole onion. The whole onion in front of us.
Mmm, so nice.
And then she went back into her kitchen where we weren't allowed to be in.
Oh, my God.
It was like moments like that. She had good timing.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's like a juicy apple. Look. Like, watch me eat an onion now, please. Yeah, she was very funny.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine eating a whole... I mean, poor.
We used to go and see her and take her out for dinner. And then this hotel, the Cumberland Hotel, opposite. And they used to do a buffet. It's before it went pot. It's quite zhuzhy now. It wasn't then. We used to go for a buffet. And, she always used to, at the end of the meal, there's two funny stories, but at the end of the meal, we'd, you know, eat everything. And then she'd go, do you have a bag? We go, what do you mean?
You know, for the journey home.
A bag? No.
Oh, okay. Just stay here.
We'd already paid. She'd go back to the buffet and she'd take rolls.
Yeah,
she'd cut them open. And she'd proceed to stuff rolls with, like, turkey and chicken, like, four of them. Like, but do it as if she was a thief looking around if anyone could see her. And because she's old, she didn't notice that the staff would just be watching her thinking, they've definitely paid. And she'd kind of say, put it in your pocket for the journey. And we'd get, like, rolls and things for the journey. But we once decided to take her to the restaurant next door, the buffet in the hotel, which wasn't a buffet.
A treat, right?
Yeah. We went there. And she was really cute-looking grandma. She was small. She had dyed blonde hair.
Wow.
She was always tanned. She loved the sun. And she was just charming and funny. And I remember, like, whenever we walk in a restaurant, it was just like people would say, oh, how sweet, they're bringing their grandma. It was obvious what's going on. She'd say hello to people, and we sat down and we'd have our dinner, and she ate it sort of quite quietly. And the manager had been fussing over us. And when we left, he said, please, and took her out a chair, helped her out a chair, and then opened the door for us. As we walked out, he said, did you enjoy your food? And she just went, no, it was horrible. And he walked out, and that was it. And his face, I'll never forget his face.
No, it was horrible.
Oh, my God.
So she was very funny,
She sounds like such a character.
She was unbelievable, yeah.
Whose mum is she? Is it your mum?
She's my mum's mum,
She's your mum's mum. Okay. So then they made it over here.
Mm.
So did your mum grow up in central London as well?
No, and they lived in Kilburn originally.
Then she moved into town later.
She always lived in Kilburn, my mum, around that area. And then my grandma, when she got sort of older, she moved to this little flat in Marble Arch for some weird reason. She just liked town.
That's the opposite choice of most people.
Countryside. It's mad, and there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken near her, which she went,
do you like Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah,
it's all right, Grandma.
My wind is so beautiful and juicy. I had two pieces, two legs, and a piece of bread. So nice.
My grandpa was fascinated with, like, odd restaurants as well. Like, they couldn't get over that you could, you know, you could just walk in and get food, that generation. And I remember he'd always be like, oh, I found the greatest new restaurant. And he'd take us, and it'd be a sort of a Chinese takeaway. But, like, he couldn't believe that you could.
And you go, of course I'd
buffets for him were like, unbelievable luxury. He'd say,
oh, yeah.
And Kaliad, you can keep going up. You can keep going up.
So where was he from?
He was from, as you can tell from my accent, Wales.
Where was?
Bridgend.
Right.
She's outside Cardiff.
Yeah,
and had been a prisoner of war in Japan.
Wow,
and so, like,
really?
Yeah, so like
God,
food.
He survived that. Jeez.
Yeah, he was nearly killed. Talked himself out being killed three times. I mean, we want to talk about
that? Don't kill me, please.
One story he said, he built the bridge over the River Kwai.
I had an uncle that did that.
Wow, yeah. And he said that he was a captain.
Two-man job,
right. Yeah, two of them. And they were chopping down trees. And basically he said to us, like, he had the shits.
Right.
So obviously the terrible diet and they're starving. So when he left his men to go off and they chopped down this tree and it hit some Japanese officers, the tree, very nearly. It went near their camp. And so they came over, like, who's in charge? And they were like, oh, Lloyd is. And they're like, where is he? And he's like, he's off having a shit in the woods, which is very much a motif of my family.
Right.
And
right.
So he came over and he said this, you know, this Japanese officer was like, you know, you're not in charge, you've disgraced him. And basically was going to kill him. And my grandpa was a solicitor. So he just went into like, well, why would I, you know, like they, if I wanted to kill you, I would have aimed, I would have told them to hit the tree. I would have done it. And I didn't. It missed you. So you have to, of course it was an accident. That's an accident. People make it, you know, and you need me to be in charge of these men. And he said he just talked and talked and talked until the man was like, oh, all right.
That's unbelievable.
He did that, yeah, three times. There's more. I mean, he was full of stories. But that generation, when we talked about this on Jess Foster's, like that generation with food,
yeah. I mean,
because there was a time when they had nothing. You know, he was 6 stone when he came back from being a prisoner of war. So he was a very fat man in his old age because he was like, I can be.
Yeah, well, Grandma, she was always trying to make me eat. I mean, when I was little, she was always trying to, I didn't eat at all when I was little. I was always thin. I'm still thin, but I just didn't eat. She used to try and make me have... She was obsessed with giving me an egg, which I hated eggs. But so what she would do, she'd give me milk, right, which I didn't like. So she put Ribena in milk.
Oh,
this
my
was
God.
My grandma's drink. I mean, it just goes brown and curdles. And to bind it all and to get one in, she put an egg in it and whisk it up. I just remember it being just, I remember that taste. It was disgusting.
That sounds like the worst drink
ever. That's what she tried
ever.
To give me constantly. Ribena with milk and an egg in it. Ribena and milk is just something else. It was like a family thing, like Ribena and milk.
Oh, God.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I mean, if it did, people would be doing it, right?
Man.
Like, that's not a thing.
But like when I came in, you were eating a pastry which had like... What did it have in the middle?
Like, so it was
custard,
like,
and you were saving.
I was saving the raspberry. It was a bit of raspberry jam surrounded by custard, which is my favourite Danish. But I don't like the pastry, really.
No, but you were saving the middle bit.
I was saving the raspberry.
The best bit. Well,
yeah.
My grandma used to say, why would you save the best bit? What if there was a bomb?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's right.
Mm.
If you come from that generation, it's like, get that best bit
down.
Yeah,
I don't think there'll be a bomb in here. Hopefully not.
God, hopefully not. I mean, we live in strange times.
We do indeed.
So you were very close to her as a child. Was your brother also close to her?
Yeah,
or did
I
you
think
and
I,
her have a little...
She spoke German, and I learnt German. I was good at languages, I guess. That was my thing at school, and I used to like speaking German to her. So I think we had a sort of... Well, she's very close to my brother as well, but I think we had a particular close bond.
Yeah.
I think she just found her funny. I just thought she was hilarious.
And was she, I guess, like, when you... You know, I'm assuming you didn't know comedy was, like, a job when you were, like, 10, but was she, like, that kind of... A bit of a, like... inspiration in a way?
Yeah,
did you sort of
She was just, you know, I don't know, do you know, like, almost like when you look at your kids or little kids, sometimes they're like almost like little animals. She was sort of like that. Just she was sort of, everything was funny, the way she ate, the way, if we'd watch TV, she'd look at the TV and I'd think, do you understand, I don't know if you understand anything, even if they're just the images, if you even understand. She was just sort of on another. I remember my mum bumping into in Brent Cross Shopping Centre in London.
Classic.
Once, randomly into her mother, you know, my grandma. My grandma, I don't know why, but she was like, my mum said, hey, hello. My grandma went, hello, and who are you? She said, I'm your daughter.
Oh, yes, hello, it's nice to see you.
I mean, they see each other regularly, but maybe it was... They don't normally bump into each other there, but it was just, and who are you? I'm your daughter.
I'm
she said
your
that.
Child.
Oh, how nice to see you, Mum. Let's get a coffee. Yes, no, I'm quite busy, but it's so nice to see you again. Bye-bye.
This is really sort of formal. It was just, I think I was with her. It was odd. I remember that. Yeah, it was odd. It was near the fountain. They used to have a big fountain.
Yeah, I know Brent
Cross
very
like,
well.
That was really odd. Like, okay.
Did your mum and her get on very well?
I think sometimes. I think it was... difficult growing up because my grandfather was ill. He had Parkinson's.
Oh.
So I don't know much about it. I think she was probably quite a tricky mum. But
yeah.
She was great with me and my brother. I think that often is the case with grandparents.
Yeah. It's suddenly the relationship changes, doesn't it? Because they're not having to raise you in that way, I guess. And the pressure is off, isn't it? So it's just a different bond can form. Yeah, I was really close to my grandpa. Like, I thought he was God. Like, I just thought he was...
Was that your non?
That was my dad's dad.
And was he close to him?
He was actually. Although, again, there was like, as I get older, I'm like, oh, that sounds tricky. But as a kid...
Yeah, of course.
He was just...
They bypass all that.
Yeah,
right?
Like I just, and he was full of, and these stories of what he'd been through for the war were adventure stories
to
us.
So he used to tell them to you, that's amazing.
He'd tell us these stories and he'd sit down and...
You're so lucky.
Yeah, he was, I mean, unusual. Now I realise that he talked about it so
much.
Most
people didn't.
But it was, he had a big thing, which, I spoke about before Jess's episode, that he, when the war was over, a Japanese person wanted to come and stay in Bridgend. And I told it wrong before, so I'll tell it correct. So a Japanese person wanted to come and stay in Bridgend, and the local lady who ran the B&B came up to him and said, "Mr. Lloyd, I got a question. You know, this Japanese man wants to come. What should I do?" Because a lot of the Welsh company had been in Changi jail. Like, a lot of them had been caught and gone to that. Had fought,
so it's a big thing.
Yeah, had fought that war rather than anywhere else. And that, like, he said, like, 2/3 of them didn't come back. So it was, you know, Cardiff was not Japan friendly. And he said, "You must. You must have him stay with you." And he said, "And let me know as soon as he's there. That's and I'm going to come and pick him up and show him around." And he picked him up. He took him home. He met my dad and his brothers. They took him to the best gardens in Wales. And that whole time, the man kept saying, "You've been to Japan?" And my never been to Japan.
And then hold that in.
Yeah. And then the end of the day, he took him back. He drove him back and he said, "You've been to Japan?" And my grandpa said, "Nope, never been to Japan." And he said, "But you understand Japanese people like no Western person I've ever met." And he said, "Oh, funny." And then he just let the man go. And I thought, my God,
Like you just thought, if that was me,
wouldn't you want to say, "Well, look, this is what happened to me"? But he said, "I wanted him to have a positive experience, and I wanted my children." He said this big thing.
Yeah, I see.
My children, the first time they met, they say, "I remember meeting a Japanese man.
And it's nice.
He came to a garden with us."
That's really
And then
brilliant.
When they found out what happened to him, they would think, "Oh, well, that's not all Japanese people."
That's great.
I mean,
that's really rare in that generation. My grandma also was like, "I never heard her say anything against anyone, like racism or anything, ever, which... Which seems like, well, why should she? But you think a lot of that generation...
Of course, they'd lost people, they'd lost friends and family and husbands, and, like, you can see why you'd go down that road.
Yeah, of course.
So she did, but she didn't really share her stories, and I suppose...
No, it was annoying. It was like, well, it wasn't annoying, because I've been obsessed with the bloody war like, my whole life.
Yeah.
From her, really. Like, I did ask her, but she just wouldn't... She told me a couple of stories. One story that she told me, for me, is quite heavy. She had to get fake papers.
Oh, Jesus.
So she went to some forger somewhere. So she had a paper, I don't know if it was a passport or papers. And she got on the train with her thing eventually. I can't remember the details, but I remember she said she was on the train. And an SS car asked for the papers. And she gave him her papers or passport, whatever it was. And she said, while she gave it to him, she'd close her eyes. And when she opened them, he came back to her and moved on. Yeah, it always got me, that one.
It's just, I think it's really important, because I think we're moving into a century where that war seems really, really far away for some people.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm also obsessed with my grandpa's stories, because I'm just like, it isn't that long ago.
No, it isn't, is it?
It isn't. And when, you know, there's still an incredible refugee crisis, and that's still happening to people in this day. And like,
totally.
It's like, I think because, you know, we are the grandchildren of that generation. So, of course, like, it's just getting further and further away. And you can see people just don't remember it and don't know. But to have that, I can't imagine. And like, my grandma was not so open-hearted about Japanese people.
Yeah.
But again, I think, God, imagine marrying someone and they're gone for 4 years and you come back and they're 6 stone. They tell you they've been taught, like...
But he told her what happened.
And she knew, like, they all came back. I mean, they look like... She had the newspaper cuttings. They look like skeletons.
I've seen the photos, of course, yeah.
And so, yeah, to tell those stories, and obviously that she wanted to tell you that one, like, that's...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
she wanted to tell me
many stories. I mean, I would ask her, like, fascinated, did you hear Hitler on the radio?
Yeah.
And she would just say, you know, of course I heard Hitler on the radio. Why would you ask such a question? You know, she would, you know... And, you know, parades out the window and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it was such a weird, macabre, weird thing, wasn't it? That's why I think it's so interesting and odd that it went the world or that Germany, that whole thing went so, like, clearly, you know, like the Mitchell and Webb sketch.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, it's really evil. What's going on? Do you know what I mean? It's so weird and just dark. And to somehow, you know, and live through all that.
And to have escaped that.
Yeah.
And I get there must have been a sense of guilt as well that she escaped.
I guess so.
She must have known people.
Sisters that died with their families and little kids, and, you know, lots died. And she didn't really she didn't really talk about that much. She didn't talk about it really.
Well, you're coming from a generation that didn't particularly express their emotions anyway. And then when something like that happens, and again, I think the other people forget, it's like not that long off the back of the First World War.
Yeah, because so her father fought for the Germans, they were like, and he came back really shell-shocked. I remember saying that.
Wow.
He was like not well after that.
Of course.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, I mean, it must have just been, as a kid, I'd be like, because my grandma, well, is dead now, but she wouldn't talk about stuff at all. And I would find it very frustrating.
Yes, so frustrating.
So fucking frustrating, because my grandpa died 6 months after my dad.
Right, God.
So I was like, okay, well, now I need to...
That must have been a terrible period.
It was shit. It was real shit. But I would then ask my grandma stuff, and she'd just be very, like, vague. Mm. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or what happened, grandma, when That was an answer for a lot of things. Well,
yeah.
And that meant shut up.
Yeah,
stop
my
grandma asking
said,
me.
Let's don't ask those things.
Yeah.
Why do you want to ask those things? Why do you want to talk about those things? Like, it's so interesting. You were there, and like, what's it feel like?
And also, it's part of, I guess, that thing, you know, they don't understand because they're the grandma. You're so connected to it. But
yeah,
so loosely,
I guess you're right. They don't realise.
They don't know what it's like to be. You know,
Because she didn't tell my mum. They always say, like, I'm the family historian, which is nonsense. But I was just interested. Like, my brother, he's so funny. Like, we're really close, my younger brother. He's sort of no interest. So my grandma gave me a photo album. It's fantastic, from the 30s.
Wow.
Her and her husband travelling all through Europe up until 38.
Wow.
And or just Germany and when they visited their village that she's from. And it's full of fake people you don't know who they are.
Yeah,
and I was obsessed with that. And found, like, the place, you know, in front of a cafe in Stuttgart, and then I find, oh, that's still there.
Haven't been
to these places. And then there's loads of, like, there's a Jewish football. My grandfather was a good footballer, and he was in the Jewish football club. And you just see them, and you just think, oh, they probably 90% of those died.
Yeah.
You know. But my brother, I showed him it. He's just he goes, oh, look at this, John. This is when they went to Berlin and... Wow, look at this. This is from, no interest. It's weird. None.
I think some people have such different, like, I'm obsessed with the photos.
Oh my God.
I just, and maybe it's about, like, storytelling or something, but I just crave them like I crave food. Like, I'm like,
eat photos.
Yeah, I do. But I'm like, I want to see them. And like, my uncle recently sent me some pictures of my dad as a kid.
Oh, wow.
And I was like... I haven't seen that, and that it feels like information, and it's just like,
what are they doing?
Where are they? What's happening? And there was like this really, it was really in like a picture of him as a very geeky teenager, whereas all the pictures my mum has is him as a very cool teenager on this motorbike, you know, driving around Highgate looking pretty cool. But there was this really like obviously the awkward era.
Yeah, nice.
And I was like, oh, look, there he is becoming that drug taking, motorbike driving, hippie.
He sounds cool.
He was pretty cool, yeah.
Wow, God.
He was pretty cool, but, you know, also maybe not very responsible to drive around on a motorbike after you've taken LSD. I would say, would gather now.
Hey,
but in the time, as my mum says, that's what people were doing.
That's what people did then. Everyone was doing it.
Yeah. So when you were growing up, did she have the Friday night dinner with you, or did you go
sometimes
to her?
She came, yeah. Sometimes she came. I used to... When she didn't come, I remember sometimes, like, if I was at my mum and dad's house, if she was there, my brother wasn't coming. I used to phone my brother up. This is like a regular thing. And I'd say, hey, Johnny, how are you? And he'd go, what are you doing? He said, yeah, we're all here, and grandma's here, and blah, 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 some chat. And do you want to speak to grandma? And he'd either say, really? You know, you do.
Okay.
And I'd, okay, here, grandma. And I would pretend to be
her.
Hello, John.
Oh, hi, Graham. How are you? And after a while, he goes, very good, Robert. I know it's you. As he would say that, I would pass the phone to my grandma, who wouldn't know what's going on. She'd go, hello. And he'd go, hello, Grandma. That was just my favourite joke.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's a lovely
one. Yeah, very good brother joke.
Yeah, it's a lovely one. Also, like, if we went round to a place, she was a good cook, but occasionally she made meatballs. And I just don't like meatballs.
Sure.
I don't like them. I don't like them at all. My brother doesn't like them, but I like them least. So we'd have these meatballs. I'd have two big ones, and she'd go back into a little kitchen. We weren't allowed to go in and get things. And I'd go, oh, my God, I hate these. And my brother said, me too. And I remember him saying, well, the best thing to do is just eat it, like, whole with water, just down it. A good idea. So I said, I'm going to do it. And so mine are done. I'm going to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And it was always patient. So I would like put the first one in my mouth, basically chew it really fast with water and swallow it whole.
Yeah.
So I didn't taste it. And then I do the other one. And then I go, done, now you've got to eat yours. And he would wait just before Grandma come in and he would scrape both of his onto my plate as she walk in and go, delicious meatballs. Thank you, Grandma. And you have an empty plate. And she'd sit down and she'd say to me, eat your food. And I'd have to like politely eat my meatballs. So I'd have four. He just would always get me. He was really good at waiting. He was like, me, just impulsive. Right, I'm doing that now. You go, lovely meatballs.
That's just such a good prank.
He was just great at that.
That's such a good brother prank.
Yeah.
And I bet he really kept the face straight.
He's also a poker player now. He's a poker player, so he's very good at that.
Yeah,
just wait. Yeah. I have no idea he was going to do that. He got me every time.
That's so good. Yeah. I'm the same as you. I'd be like, just down it quick. Let's just do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just get out of the way.
I've done mine. You've got to eat yours now.
And probably you celebrated too quickly as well.
Yeah,
like, ha, Johnny, you're going to have to eat it.
And you just sit there waiting.
Fuck, that's good.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah, we used to have fun there, yeah.
So, did she see you get into comedy? And did you ever talk to her about that?
Was she not really aware? I don't know if she sort of... I don't know if she understood. She was getting quite sort of old, I suppose, and I'm well. I think she just was old, really, when she died. Well, actually, funny saying that, yeah. I used to work, one of my first jobs, I worked on The Big Breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Like, if people don't know, that was like a... every day morning show on Channel 4. That's kind of mental.
I loved that show.
Well, I worked with Zig and Zag, the two puppets.
Oh my God, I love Zig and Zag.
And I said, I think they should have a grandma.
Yeah.
Why, just use my grandma. So for a while, for about 4 or 5 episodes or more, I don't know, they'd be in their spaceship, Zig and Zag, and they said, now it's time to go over to our grandma who has a message. And I would film my grandma. I go to her flat and I remember saying, Grandma, is it okay if we film you for television?
Yes, fine.
Really?
Yes, lovely.
And we'd film and I'd have to sort of film her on a balcony with a bit of a sort of script. So you have to first of all say, hello, Zig and Zag.
Hello, Zig and Zag.
Hello. And they would sort of ask her the script, what have you been doing? And
today I went to make him some piece of fish.
It was all like this. And so she was on
TV.
I've got it on VHS somewhere. Yeah, it was really funny. Just filming her, and I don't think she really understood.
Yeah, quite.
I think she ever saw it. I don't think she really. I think she sort of. I know that I was filming her, and she kept saying, she called me Robbie.
Yes, Robbie.
I said, no, don't say my name.
But I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I know, but it's going to be on the television.
I know.
Okay, let's go again.
Where, Robbie?
No, just don't talk to me. She couldn't get that bit around her head. Don't say my name.
So she was on television. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really funny. So Zig and Zag would ask a question and she'd answer and blah, blah.
Your grandma was Zig and Zag's grandma?
Yeah, she was for a while, yeah.
If you weren't so famous for other things,
hey,
that would be your claim to fame.
That would be my number one claim to fame.
But like, there's a lot of other stuff.
It's a claim to fame, like, yeah.
Yeah. Did she have a lot of friends? Did she have a lot of social life? You sort of...
I don't think she did. She moved to, when she got older, she moved to like a, not old age people, sort of like a place, assisted place. And apparently...
Assisted living, isn't
it? Yeah, and apparently there would be like meetings and things. And she was... I remember, like, my parents talking to the woman that ran it and often said, I don't think my grandma was popular, because she was quite forthright.
Yeah.
And they'd have meetings and she used to, like, upset the other people about with her opinions and things. And she was quite bossy and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think she thought everyone was old, where she was obviously old, you know, one of those.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think she had loads of friends, no. But I used to see her, there was a time when I used to see her quite a lot. I remember, like, one, you know, I was about 20-something and it was a Saturday night when I would go out with my buddies and no one was around and I was bored. And like, literally no one was in. And I remember thinking, I'm going to phone my grandma. I'll go and see her. And she said, yes, come round, you know, later on. I thought, well, that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
At least I got something. And then about 10 minutes later, she phoned me up. No, actually, no, I don't come today. I think I'm just staying on my own. I remember just being blown out by my grandma. I mean, that was like a low point in my social life. And sort of meant something to me in my 20s.
That's, she things said, don't got, come round.
Yeah, don't come round.
That's amazing. I'm busy.
I'm busy. But yeah, but so it's funny because I was thinking about this, like her death. She was sort of a good buddy, really. And also there's something about, God, I got really emotional at the beginning, didn't I? God, about the loss of that sort of generation.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of middle European, East European or whatever it was, sort of Holocaust surviving lot, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Who were just, I mean, a few of my friends have grandparents like that, and they're just all nuts and hilarious. Yeah. They're just nuts and funny and just really determined. I mean, just unbelievably determined. She was so determined. You know, she came here with nothing, literally nothing. And then I think she went around all the factories and, bought, or they gave her, they cut off, bits of material that was going to go in the bin.
The remnants,
and she made ribbons and bows and things. And then it started turning to, she had a little clothes factory. That's how it started for her. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess, to get out of that country in that situation, it does...
I don't even know how she... I don't know how she got out in the end.
Yeah.
That stuff's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, it's just so hard to get your head around now, isn't it? What that must have been like to turn up. I mean, did she even speak English when she arrived?
I don't think she spoke English. She spoke English, but it was, vegetables. You know, it was kind of funny English she spoke.
Yeah.
You know, Delia Smith was, are you watching Celia Smith? My boyfriend's on the television. Really? Who's that? Cliff Richard. Do you like Cliff Richard? Not really.
Why not? It's wonderful.
So I don't think she spoke any... No, she can't have spoken. Yeah. She can't have spoken any English when she
it's
came.
It's just an unimaginable situation, isn't it? For people in the privileged position that we are in to go somewhere not even be able to
Doing a podcast.
Doing a podcast.
She wouldn't know what a podcast is.
Oh, my God, yeah. So
I bought her a tape. Oh, that's it. She once asked for music. She wanted music.
Okay.
What do you mean you want music?
Listen to music.
Okay, well, so tape recorder?
What?
Tape recorder?
Yes.
Didn't really know what that is. So we bought her a tape recorder and we had tapes with some music on, you know. Okay, it's like a tape recorder. Press play, rewind.
Great.
She did not, I'm trying to explain that. Just stared at it. Play.
But why do you press this button to stop it? But why do you stop if I want to listen?
Well, I'm just showing it.
Oh. But now why are you pressing play?
To play it.
But I didn't want it.
But it was just... and then I remember after explaining it to...
No, I don't want it.
It's too
rather
much.
Rather not have any music.
I'd rather not have it. It seems very complicated.
It's just funny.
When you wrote Friday Night Dinner, because obviously there's the grandma in there.
Yeah. There's some things from it. She's not the same. Obviously, the voice isn't the same.
Yeah.
But she's quite... what's the word? Bubbly.
In the spirit of her.
Yeah, and there's some things in there that are stolen. So... there's a thing where my mum had an argument with my grandma, you know, when we were growing up, you know, grown lady, my mum, and my grandma told her to just stop and suddenly went, go to your room in our house, you know. And it was just everyone's brain went, huh? My mum went, what?
Go to your room.
My room?
Yes, you heard me. Go to your room.
My room, this is my house.
Then go to your room.
Going to my room, you are. And there was this whole argument. So that was a big thing in our family. Go to your room now. And that we used that. And she had a sort of man friend for a while who had a couple of episodes with a guy called Mr. Morris, who completely looks like him and was him, who was basically the most horrible man in the world. And she'd never say anything nice about him. She used to say, and how's his name is Lou, actually. How's Lou?
So mean. Horrible.
Why are you with him?
Well, it's someone to be with.
He was really, really, really mean and a know-it-all. Yeah. So there's lots, you know, there's quite a few things that, you know, she did that went in there. She used to always give us some purses, little wallets. That's what we always get.
A wallet.
And we go, it's a purse.
Yeah, it is a purse.
She'd give us purses and with a pound in it or 50 or 5p.
Because it's bad luck to give a wallet without money.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a really old-fashioned thing.
Because
you're saying there's no money. So if you give a wallet, you have to put a little bit in.
A little bit
so
of money.
It's your more money will come.
She used to say, buy an ice cream. Buy an ice cream at every age. But I think it was that sort of loss of that, you know, in our family. We didn't have a big family, so she was that connection. I was just always interested in that.
Yeah.
I learnt German, and I was always talking German to her. And so it was always that connection to it. And occasionally you meet them, those people, and they were like... Yeah, I remember, one crazy story. I was, with my dad, and we were going to some funeral years ago. We had to pick some old bloke up, and he was in the car, and he had one of those accents. And I said, where are you from? I can't remember if it's Germany or Poland. And I said, all right. And then instantly I'm asking questions.
Yeah,
and I
said,
where were you in the war? And he said, I was in a camp. I don't know which one, bad one, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, wow. And so how come you're alive? I think he's escaped. I said, wow, how did you escape?
Yeah, now I'm...
Yeah,
now,
and he said, he goes, you want to know how I escaped? I remember this story. I go, yeah. He said, we were on a quarry or something like that. And we were in a group. And there was one SS guard who's 17, young, yeah, with us. And when he turned away, we cut his head off with a shovel and ran.
Fucking hell.
It always got me that dead. I was like,
yeah.
Just remember, like, afterwards it was silent in the car for a while. My dad afterwards said, why did you ask him that?
Your dad's driving like, Robert, don't do it, don't do it. There's no good.
Do you want to know how he escaped? Yeah. I go, yeah. Exactly. He was like, all right, I'll tell you how he escaped.
I'll fucking tell you, mate, yeah.
Cut his head off, whacked his head off and ran.
Jeez. Like,
fuck you. Here we are at the funeral.
Oh, look, yeah, there's so Auntie Sally.
They're just crazy, that lot, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one thing I'd say about my grandpa. Like, he was such a storyteller that he really made those stories palatable for people.
Yeah.
Like, he would tell them in a way, like, right, a bit like a stand-up. Like, we've got this recording of him.
Wow.
And it was like, I can hear that it's become a story and not the truth. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
It's still true. It's, you know, it happened. But the way he constructed it, it left you feeling like, oh, yeah, life's okay, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
and really, that's great.
He really wanted to construct that. And it was funny. It was funny, actually. So he's all these stories of, you know, this, like you said, these insane, awful, horrific things that he sort of skates over. And, yeah, he told this story, actually, about people collapsing on the bridge over the River Kwai.
Oh.
And a good friend collapsed, just sat down. They finished. He said that was the worst thing. They finished and then everyone collapsed. Lots of people collapsed.
Exhaustion, that sort of.
But he was like, but we fucking, like, no, no, this is it, this is it. And a man collapsed and he said, in this recording, he said he grabbed him and he held a picture of his wife to his man's face. He said, you've got to stay alive for her and for her. And the man said no and died. And my grandpa said, that was tough. That was tough.
Wow.
But then we came back and I thought, yeah, like, you know.
That was tough.
That was tough. And it's, he keeps saying that his big thing is like, he wanted to make sure that my grandma knew how he died. So his big thing was like, if I collapse, she won't know. She won't know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of what drove him. But it was funny because
he sounded unbelievably tough and determined.
Tough and determined. But he, in the talk, he's talking about, he was very Christian, and he's talking about, you know, God led him, and, you know, he always felt very strange that God had somehow chosen him. But I was like, I listened to it, and I thought, you can say God chose you, or you can be like, of all these people, you were just absolutely not, you were like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And that's not, oh God, of course people die with that reason. Yeah, sure. But there was something in my ground, like when you talk about that spirit of a person, he was just not, like, that determination.
Yeah.
He was extremely...
And luck, of course, as well.
Yeah, a mixture of luck and determination.
Wow, he sounds amazing.
And he just was like, I'm not doing it. And then when my dad died, he broke in two.
Oh.
Because he couldn't talk his way out of it. And I really sort of didn't understand it till much later that...
That's amazing.
He kept saying, it's not right.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and having listened to him talk...
That's his way of processing.
Yeah, and listened to him talk about how he survived life. He was a solicitor. And he really, you know, that classic, he really had the gift of the gab.
Well,
like,
it sounds
Jesus.
Like it, yeah.
He could talk about anything. I mean, I think he got my dad off, like, driving fines several times by being like, this honourable member of society rushing back to his son. And it was like, my dad was speeding, you know. and I thought, God, yeah, like, if you've got through so much and then someone dies of cancer... There's nothing you can't sweet talk your way out. No charm in the world.
That's amazing. And that worked that one out like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it really did. Just make him go,
like,
oh, what the fuck? I got through all
and
that.
He died not long after, didn't he?
Yeah, so it was 6 months. Yeah. And I mean, it's funny, like you said, like with that madness, I think is interesting that you said, like, that, you know, she wasn't aware or, like, you know, was in her own little world. But you go, when you've been through something like that, of course you are.
The maddest thing I see her do ever, saw her do ever, and I see, it was a Christmas where, like, so the Jewish people, funny thing, they often just celebrate Christmas because you're not meant to, but we weren't religious and that's what we do. So we had Christmas dinner at my auntie's house. My grandma, like, had a, like, coughing fit and she wasn't breathing well, like some asthma-y thing. And we called an ambulance and she went in the ambulance and we were all, like, worried and we drove after the ambulance. And then she was on a stretcher, like, going in the hospital and we were following her. And she had an oxygen mask on her mouth, on her face, and she was clutching a handbag. and they were just, you know, they gently tried to take her handbag off, and she was like, no way, you're not taking my handbag. Yeah. And it's just perfect timing. And we're walking down the ward, and they're pushing her, you know, far. She's an old woman, she can't breathe. I mean, she was fine in the end.
Yeah.
Pushing along, and had the oxygen mask on her. And I said, don't worry, Grandma, you'll be okay, you'll be okay. And she took her oxygen mask for a second, put her hands into her handbag and said to me, would you like a yoghurt? And took out a yoghurt. She remembered that moment, I've been keeping a yoghurt for Robert. I must give him that. And she took out like a ski strawberry yoghurt. And they instantly put it back in a bag and just put the oxygen mask in. Would you like a yoghurt? That was what was in her head while she's sort of effectively maybe dying.
Oh my God. What did you say?
It just was like open mouth and thought, that's amazing. Yeah. Would you like a yoghurt? Why do you like a yoghurt? You couldn't write that. I mean, I nicked that line as well on my show. It was perfect.
But yeah, it's almost that thing of like, if you put it in the show, someone would be like, that would never happen. You're like, it did.
An even more extreme version. Yeah. Would you like a yoghurt? Now.
So
imagine I just then said, oh, yes. Yeah. And then just ate a yoghurt there, just with a spoon.
Oh, yeah, actually. Thank you, Grandma. I'll see you in a bit. Let me know how it goes.
That's what I want.
Oh, is it strawberry? Mm. Yes, please. So how old was she when she died?
She was 92.
Wow.
Yeah, she did quite well.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's really amazing. Yeah. Was she in the home? Was it just sort
she
of old
age? She was
in
that place, yeah. No, then I think she did actually move to a sort of home a bit. I can't remember it well. I mean, that's where she died, yeah.
And was it sort of just of old age?
I think it was, yeah.
And where were you? Did you get...
We were there, and then we were there, and then I think we were sort of with her, and then... When we weren't in the room when she died, and then we get called in to see, like, she's died. And weirdly, I didn't really like seeing her dead. I don't know, maybe that's not the thing to say, but I just...
No,
we were in the room,
so
and then, like, people were sort of texting, you know, news, you know, and it just felt... I don't know, I didn't like seeing her like that. It was like, I don't know, it doesn't feel... It felt like... So it's like a personal moment for her, almost, and I shouldn't be here, and I don't like seeing her like that. And they were sort of saying she looked peaceful or not. Yeah, but it was just weird. I just remember feeling I didn't like being in that room.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a grown up. But do you know what I mean? I don't know. I just felt it was...
I think it's so different. And I think each person who died is different. I think sometimes someone is at peace and sometimes, it's just so individual. I only found out recently, after my dad died, I went back in the room to have a moment. And I think my mum said that her and my brother didn't. And I was like, what? I said, we all went in. And she went, no, you asked. I thought, my memory is that,
what was it like going in on you? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, really clearly. Yeah. So we were all with him when he died. And then you know, they say, okay, go outside because we have to sort stuff out take things out. Yeah. So we went outside. And then I don't really remember this, but my mum said, they said, do you want to go back in? And I think my brother and my mum were like, no, you know, we've seen him die. And apparently I said yes.
Wow.
And I went back in. And I think, I suppose it was...
You had a yoghurt, sorry.
Yeah. No yoghurts.
No yoghurt.
But I suppose what was nice about it was they'd given him a really nice room by himself and it had these big doors out into a little garden.
Yeah.
So it's very sort of, you know, as peaceful as these things can be. And it... Yeah, I don't know why I wanted to go back in, but I just felt like I wanted to sort of say goodbye.
Yeah.
And then I did something which I do think is a bit odd. I opened the doors because I thought that he needed to get out.
Sweet.
And so I... Sort of, I don't think I touched him after that. I mean, you know, I touched him when he died, but I think I just sort of looked at him. And I remember thinking, he was such a full man. Like, you knew when he was in the room is the only thing I could think.
Force of nature.
Total force of nature. Like, just, like, as, you know, his dad was. Like, a big character.
Yeah.
And it was the first time, like, I was like, he was just so still. And, you know, he talked and he moved and he farted and ate with his mouth open. He was just like...
Big.
And he was just lying very still. And I remember thinking, that's death, isn't it?
Wow.
You're just finally still. You've stopped.
Yeah.
And then I opened the door because I thought, well, he won't be able to get out. His spirit.
Sweet life.
And then I came back and told my mum, said, I've opened the door for him. And can you imagine your 15-year-old daughter? I think my mum was like, okay. Whatever you need to do, that's fine.
Wow.
And I just had a big thing that I should... I didn't want him to stay in the room. And I felt like that's what was... God knows what goes on in your head when you're...
I can understand that.
Yeah, and so...
Felt like the thing to do.
Yeah, just felt like the thing to do. But I think it's so different, you know. It's so different. And he'd been in a lot of pain and stuff like that. So that
what was the matter with him?
Pancreatic cancer. Oh. So yeah, so he was diagnosed in February and dead by the April. So, you know, it'd been a very far, you know, and so to see someone, I did think it was a piece because it was like he'd been fighting a cancer. Whereas I think old age is so different. You know, they're so frail in such a different way anyway. And they've been vulnerable for a time anyway. Yeah. Like, so how old were you when she died?
34.
Like okay. And did you, how did you feel afterwards about her death? Was it kind of like the first big family death?
No. it's ruined the whole thing. How did I feel? Yeah.
Like, I guess.
Sad. That's like, yeah. I think it sort of didn't, I think we were sort of preparing for it.
Yeah.
So you always think, I remember thinking, God, if my grandma died, I don't know how I'd ever cope type thing. And you know what I mean? And then when it happens, you sort of got slightly accustomed to it and you're thinking, oh, I'm not crying my eyes out.
Yeah, yeah.
Weirdly.
But you can't every day. I think it's the other thing about grief. You think.
I mean, I had a cry today. Wow. Yeah. Like, I haven't really, I don't think I've ever been like this about her.
Yeah.
I suppose they, you don't think about them, they come pop into your mind every now and then.
Yeah.
And when you talk all about them and think about it, then it all, yeah. I think it was, I don't know, I think also like, I hadn't really seen someone die.
Yeah.
So, and of then course. It's, I was lucky enough to, you know, and then you're watching everyone, there's practical things to do and stuff.
Yeah.
And this happens to happen, we have to do this, okay. Get help for the funeral one.
Yeah.
You have a thing called a shiver in Jewish thing where it's like the wake where you, it can be 3 nights, 4 nights, or 1 night even, where they came around to, I think it was my mum and dad's house, I think so, where you sort of pay respects, they do like a prayer, and then you have like tea and cakes type thing, pastries. I don't really remember a funeral that well. I probably would have found that quite hard.
Yeah. It's very quick though in Judaism.
You do it straight away.
Yeah,
I mean, literally they're buried like the next day type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the day or the day after.
And does she have a grave?
Sure, yeah.
And do you visit it at all? Or
I don't think I have. I think I've seen it. She's in Bushy and in Northwest London. There's a massive graveyard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've seen it, but I don't really. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anyone that really visits. Do Jewish people go and visit the graveyard much? I don't know. Do you visit your dad?
He had he was cremated, and spread the ashes.
So does that mean you don't? Because we don't cremate in our.
Yeah,
thingy.
So, well, it's different. You can cremate and then be put, like, interred into a church.
I'm with you.
And then you can visit that. Or you spread it somewhere meaningful.
Sure, so is that what you did?
We spread his ashes in Wales. I can't quite remember where.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
I think, so he grew up in Bridgend and there's, like, these sand dunes. These really weird, again, this is, like, if you want to sum up my grandpa.
Is that near the Gower? No.
Yeah, it's near the Gower Peninsula.
That's so nice. Oh,
so there's these sand dunes that they used to camp on when they were kids.
Love it.
And this sums up my grandpa, right? My grandpa told me that Hollywood film was made there once and they dumped them there. And I believed that till I was, until in my 20s. And I said to my brother was like, what? No. Like, my grandpa's middle name was Mervyn, but he told me it was Merlin. And it was Merlin because we were distantly related to Merlin.
Amazing.
And I didn't question that till I was about 25.
No, brilliant.
And then I had to think, hang on a minute.
That's brilliant.
I don't think Merlin's not real, is it? But in my head, I was like,
yeah, no.
Yeah, we related to
I bet there's
Merlin.
A part of you that's still...
Yeah, of course.
Slightly still.
Yeah. He said, I'm Herbert Merlin Lloyd. And that's why. And, you know, these things as a kid, you're like, makes sense.
Till you're sort of much older than you should.
But yeah, we spread his ashes in the sand dunes in Wales somewhere.
Right. Do you remember the ceremony you did?
I do, because...
There must have been something funny, obviously.
So it went with me. It was me, my mum and my brother. And and this was many years afterwards. Like, the running joke is he was in the wardrobe for about 10 years because we just didn't know what to do. And I remember, like, going through my mum's wardrobe once and being, like, looking to borrow something, like a handbag. And I was like, what's this? And she was like, oh, it's Dad. And I was like,
oh, wow.
What?
What's that like? Because
my mum is very, my family joke a lot.
Yeah,
and my mum's from, like, East End Essex. So it was like, oh, it's your dad.
Right.
Well, I don't know what to do with him, do I? So.
Right, wow. Yeah.
It was like, oh, you got to give me a warning. Well, I didn't know you were going in there, did I? Is that sort of,
nice.
Exactly. Yeah, that, but again, argumentative,
funny.
Antagonistic, funny family, yeah. What are you bloody doing? What should have asked me for a handbag? Oh, well, he doesn't mind you in there, does he? Just ignore him and get the handbag. That sort of dialogue is what I grew up with.
Mm.
And then when we like sort of threw it out and it was really windy.
Yeah.
And a bit definitely got in my eye.
Like I'm in... Lebowski.
Big Lebowski.
Oh, that scene. And I mean, obviously people think of that scene,
When they throw the ash to their friend,
so
that
when it went in your eye, what did you physically
I mean, I laughed because I was like, what the fuck? Like, no, don't do this to me. But like a big flew in my eye and they were like, oh no. And my mum and my mother were like, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Just like carry on making this poignant because... I want it to be poignant and not comedy like everything fucking is.
Wow.
So when I saw that Big Lebowski, I was actually sort of like, you know when something's embarrassing has happened to you and you see it and you're like, oh God, no, don't show that. I thought it was, whoa. So yeah, I didn't laugh as much. I was like, I know how that feels.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. Do you still talk about her with your brother and your mum?
Sometimes. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I do the voice.
Yeah.
They ask me to do the voice sometimes, which I quite like doing.
Yeah.
Because my cousins, I've got two cousins, everyone has a go. My cousin Alan is like, he was the king at the voice. And then suddenly I realised I can do the voice.
Oh,
so they know that I do the voice. Yeah. His voice isn't quite as good. My other cousin David, it's just a bit too throaty. Like he's married to his wife, well, their girlfriend, they live together forever, Harriet. My grandma couldn't pronounce Harriet, so it would be hello Robbie, hello John, hello Dave, hello Harriet. It just could Harriet. And they had a little daughter called Billy.
Oh yeah,
a girl called Billy that my grandma just couldn't get her head around her name was Billy. I couldn't remember it, but she always called her hello Marilyn. She was Marilyn. And go, it's Billy. Ah, and the next time, hello Marilyn. Like the opposite name to Billy.
Perhaps she just thought Marilyn was a better name.
Maybe not. Maybe
just
so,
like if I keep saying it, perhaps it would just become her name.
Maybe so. Yeah. Also, I remember like if like the kids ever like little babies were like went naked in the swimming pool. She goes, no, it's not nice. No, no. Put some clothes. No, it's not nice. She's making a big fuss of like a baby doesn't have a nappy. No, it's not nice. It's really funny.
No. Different times.
Yeah.
It's not nice. I don't want to see Marilyn.
Not nice.
Put some clothes on her.
Exactly. Pretty good, that.
God, she sounds like such an interesting character.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah. You were obviously very close to her. And like you said, it was like that first kind of big... I think the first big death in the family is... Like if my dad...
Well, my other grandma died when I was younger, when I was about 15. So my dad's mum, who was very different... she's lovely, she was great, but she was she was quite strict, but she wasn't, you know, I guess I got closer to, because I lived, you know, longer and
of course,
and
yeah.
Also they're both lovely in their ways, but this grandma was just always funny, you know. Everything she did was funny, just always funny, you know.
Was it nice though with Friday Night Dinner when you did see that grandma, the character?
Yeah, it was.
Was it like a moment of like, it's almost like I've recreating those memories for myself?
It was a bit, yeah. It definitely was. You know, the scenes when she tells mum to go to her room. I mean, that's verbatim. That's what I don't need to write that. That's word for word. You know, there are a few scenes that are completely word for word, what she said or did. And then the rest, you know, isn't. But it was nice when you can do the odd scene that just my family and my brother will watch it and go, my mum and dad will go, oh, that happened. That is exactly what happened.
Yeah, that must be mad.
Yeah, it is mad.
Did you feel mad watching it being filmed? Like, was it a bit of like that?
Sort of mad. Sometimes it can be a bit emotional as well, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And sort of funny and thinking, I'm being paid to do this. And this is a stupid argument in my house. And now we're filming it.
Yeah.
And you do think, are people going to like this? Because it did happen. You know, you think real things, but it only happened to us. But then the whole show is meant to be really specific.
Because
the more specific they are,
the
more relatable they are, than just a general program about a family. So, because everyone's fame, you know, like I tell you a story like my grandma that's specific, and you go, well, we did this thing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's your specific thing, you know.
Yeah.
So everyone can go, oh, we have a similar type thing. It's like this.
You know? And I think it's just truth in comedy, isn't it? That sounds like a twat. But, like, the truth of that grandma character and that family, and especially, I think, what's really great I love about that show is like the brother relationship is so written in truth.
No, it's similar to me and my brother.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the pranks, the annoying pranks, they're just, they still go on. I mean, regularly, you know, my brother will open his case. He runs a PR firm. He'll open his bag and there'll just be like just chicken bones in his bag. Just that will come out. And he has like a book where he, like an A4 book where he
writes, for each year, he writes all his like meeting notes and things scheduled. Yeah. He just writes, handwrites. And so regularly, if I go to his house, I just go straight to his bag. And I'll move like two pages on and I'll draw like a, you know, like a man with sort of 15 eyes and sort of three bosoms and just that and some weird, enormous picture so that when he's in a meeting, turns the page. So we all now check our, like if I go to him, I will check the pockets of my jackets afterwards and he'll check everything. Because
that's so stressful though when you leave.
Yeah.
Well, she just sounds like an amazing character. I think so. You know, I'm really glad.
I've got her on my phone. Do you want to
hear? Yes, please. Let's hear.
I've got, like, it's funny, on my iTunes. I can't remember when I found this, like, you know, like 10 seconds of her.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny because her voice changed. Like, as she got older, it went more like this.
Yeah.
But this is from, like, the 80s where I was working on a, living on a kibbutz. They used to send tapes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from home, like, how are you and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
And here's a bit of her, like, or is it sandwiched between Gregory Isaacs, the reggae star, and Grace Jones, his grandma in the middle. So here's a bit of her. Let's see if I can get it on speak thingy.
Hi, hello, Robert. How are you? Hello. Good morning. I'm in your parents' house. Had a lovely evening. It's now Saturday morning. And I'm enjoying myself with your lovely brother, John John.
That's her.
That's amazing.
It's a lovely evening. I'm enjoying it with your brother.
Yeah. So I got like
that. I'm so glad you played that. That's amazing. What amazing. Yeah. Voice from the past to me is just, it's still magic.
Yeah.
It's still magic that we can remember her and talk about her and then to be able to hear her say, hello,
hello
Robert.
Zombie.
She sounds lovely.
Yeah, she's funny.
We normally say the name, but I'd just say Grandma, shall I?
Grandma.
Grandma. Well, thank you for coming in, Robert. And
thank you very much for making me cry.
It's all right.
You can follow Robert on Twitter at Robert Popper, or you can head to robertpopper.com for information on his massive back catalogue of great comedy. We'll be back in the autumn with more cheery chats about death, but if you want to talk grief before then, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TheGriefCast, or you can email us, thegriefcast@gmail.com. Music was provided by The Glue Ensemble, and the show was edited by Kate Holland, with thanks to Whistledown Studios. And remember, you are not alone.
Hello, Robert. How are you? Hello. Good morning. I'm in your parents' house. Had a lovely evening. It's now Saturday morning. And I'm enjoying myself with your lovely brother, John John.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.